Thank you, Brother Sung, for that beautiful song. Actually, I don't think there's been a day where his grace doesn't cease to amaze us, doesn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here. We're so thankful that we can put aside a few minutes of our time, a few hours of our time to say thank you. To remember, as we mentioned this morning, to remember what you did for us, dying on the cross and now seated at the right hand of God. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, we ask now that you hide me behind the cross. Be with this weak vessel. Please let me deliver it with humility, but at the same time with your power, Lord. The power that only comes from you, because my words are nothing without yours, Lord. Be with us, be with all the sick ones in our midst, Lord. There's many. Bless them, heal them, and bring them back to us, Lord. We pray for all the vacationers as well. Keep them safe. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we're going to take a look at a great story about three men and their faith in God and God's faithfulness in return. So for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you a summary. I'm going to give you a summary of the story in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Here we go. In this chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar flexes his royal muscles and demands that everyone bow down and worship his golden statue that he built. As soon as his band plays, everyone is ordered to bow down. If you don't, you will be thrown in the fiery furnace. So you either bow or burn. Those were your only two choices. Now, some of the king's officials ratted out these three Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are our stars today. Telling the king that they were not complying with the king's command. So Nebuchadnezzar called for them and gave them another chance to bow. These three men trusted God and said no. The king was so furious that he ordered the fire to be heated up seven times hotter, and bound them tightly as they were thrown into the fire pit. While in the fire, instead of seeing three people getting burned alive, the king saw four walking around the pit, and the fourth man looking like an angel. So the king commanded them to come out and found all three men unharmed, with not even a first-degree burn or smell of smoke. The king was so impressed that he promoted these three men and gave praise to their God. So we're going to break this story into three main points. My first point being God's position in our choices. Let's read our first text. Daniel 3:14 to 16. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up now? When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Challenging words. And here it is. Look at their reply. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." What does that mean? It means there's no negotiations here. This conversation is not up for debate. Our answer is no and will always be no. Regardless of the consequences, we don't care how we look. Frankly, we do not care what happens to us. Unapologetic, unwavering, undoubtedly N-O. They didn't fear the king of Babylon. They feared the king of kings. See, their faith didn't try and find loopholes or excuses. Wait. Everyone else is doing it. We should be okay. We're just going along with the majority. It's just a little thing, not a big deal. God will forgive us. Oh, I've done a lot of good things, so this one time won't hurt. Or how about this excuse? Well, if I die now, I will miss out on serving the Lord in the future. I don't think he'd like that. So maybe we should just bow just for now until we figure this out. Man-made excuses. There was simply none of that. Now that's what I call a biblical faith. You want to see great faith? Here you go, verse 18. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Those words, but even if he does not. Their faith was not dependent on the outcome. Their faith was not dependent on the result. Their faith was fully dependent on God himself. Even if things didn't go their way, it wouldn't change their confidence in God. These three men didn't know the Lord was going to appear in the fire, but they remained faithful to God's promise instead of giving in to the world's pressure. Worldly pressure is still on the rise today, isn't it? And life may have pushed you too far. Maybe it's time to rise up with the same attitude of these three men. An attitude where you are fully dedicated to Christ no matter what. You know what? God can rescue me from this health that I've had for a long time, these aches and pains. But even if he does not, I will not bow down. You know what? God can restore my family relationships. I've had a lot of issues with my family, my marriage. But even if he does not, I will not bow down. You know what? God can bless me to make more money. I need that promotion, that new job. But even if he does not, I will not bow down. There will be times when we pray for something and the outcome doesn't go the way we wanted. Folks, God does not work according to our wish, but according to his will. It's according to his timing, not our schedule. He doesn't have a deadline like we do. He's never been late and will never be. His will is always perfect and always better than ours. Remember the raising of Lazarus? What did Martha say to the Lord? Martha said, Lord, if you would have been here earlier, my brother would have still been alive. Was the Lord late? No, he was in the perfect place at the perfect time. But in Martha's eyes, he was late. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are a few times in my life where I know the Lord is working on me. And sometimes I ask him, Lord, I really don't want to learn this the hard way. And if there's another way I can learn this, I'd rather go the easier way. Who's asked that before? But thank God for the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Because it states, but nevertheless, your will be done. Isn't that what the Lord prayed in Gethsemane? His humanity asked if there was another way to save the sinners, save us. But his desire was more to please and obey the will of his Father, to die on the cross for our sins. Look it up. Luke 22, 42. We don't have to turn there. You know, when I was reading these verses again and again, I asked myself, how did these three men get here? How did they get so brave and bold in making this big decision? Did you know they started out small? If you flip back to Daniel chapter 1, again, we don't have to turn there. I want you to look it up at home. When they were still young teenagers and captives in a foreign land, we find these three boys saying no to the king's royal food because it would defile them. They made this small stand and the Lord honored them in return. You know, at first when I was reading this, I thought it was a very insignificant decision. But little did I know, this was the beginning of their greatness. Our walk with Christ is contingent upon making the little decisions wisely. How can we expect ourselves to make the right decision when it counts, when we're not making the right decisions in our everyday life, the small ones? The little choices we make now will greatly affect the big decisions that we're going to make later. It's the same thing with sin. No one wakes up and says, today, I'm going to get addicted to drugs or gambling or have an affair or become an alcoholic. That just doesn't happen. But what happens is you make a series of small choices, a series of small bad decisions that lead to a place where eventually you're in a situation that you never thought you'd be in. Your standards got lower and lower each day. And instead of stopping, you continue to make more bad choices. And before you know it, you're in a place you swore you'd never be. Folks, if there was a younger me that could share with the younger people in here, make good choices early in your life. Make a stand for God, stand pure, and stand strong for Christ. He will not fail you. Don't involve God only in your big decisions. Include Him in the small ones as well. My second point, God's presence in the fire. You know, when these three men were thrown in the fire to burn, everyone thought it was the end. Let's visit that chapter. Chapter 3, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual. 7 times. I don't think I've ever been in that kind of situation. The closest one I can think of is when I was young boy. I was back in the Philippines. This was back in the Philippines, and there was a brush fire in our backyard. And I remember my dad pulling me out of that because I was too close to the fire, but I felt the heat. I don't remember who started the fire, but you know what? I actually probably do, because after my dad pulled, I remember I had a magnifying lens in my pocket, so it could have been me. I don't know why I'm sharing with you, but I felt the heat. That's probably the closest. No, you know what? Actually, there's one more that I can think of. I was waiting in line for an hour and a half for the Dumbo ride in Disneyland in the middle of August. You know what made it worse is I was pinned down because there were so many people and it was so hot. As a matter of fact, the more I think about it, I paid a lot to be in that line. So who's the Dumbo now, right? Sorry, I'm getting out of the subject here. Okay, he ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Stop here for a minute and put yourself in the place of these three. Pretend that verse 24 hadn't happened yet. What do you think they're saying? What do you think? What would you say? Wait, we just made a stand for Christ. How come our situation got worse? Lord, I just prayed that you get me out of this situation. How come you're not answering? Lord, I've been faithful to you, but where are you? Where are you when I need you the most? How come you haven't rescued me yet? I'm here right at the door about to be executed. How come this bad situation is not happening to that person right there? They didn't make a stand for you. How come it's not happening to them? Why is this only happening to me? Ever ask those questions? The why, where, when, and how? See, God didn't take away the fire. He can, and sometimes does, but in my experience, he usually has a purpose in letting people go through the fire. Oh, child of God, be patient. Just be patient. There's a promise that will be revealed in your next verse. There's a miracle awaiting, and it's just on the next page. His presence and purpose will be revealed in the fire, not during, not before, but during. God didn't prevent the fire, he joined them in it. See, God may not always take you out of trouble, but he promises to be with you in it. You are never alone in your struggle. Let's continue on. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, there, I see four men walking in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fort looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Isn't that odd? You don't see the men trying to escape the fire. The only way, the reason why they went out is because they were hailed by the king. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. I'm going to underline that one. We're going to go back to that one. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. God's presence, checked. God's promise, checked. God's purpose, checked. What was the purpose? First, do you think these men came out of the fire the same as they went in? Absolutely not. I bet you they were bolder than ever before after this experience. Fire increased their faith because fire always refines. It only burned the rope that bound them. They were unharmed, yes, but they still felt the heat. See, after this incident, their relationship with God went on another level. Isn't that what God wants? Isn't that what we should want as well? Secondly, God got the glory. Now let's say this man didn't get sent to the furnace. Maybe just this time they got a pass from the king. Who would have ever seen the faithfulness of God? Nobody. Nobody would have ever seen this massive miracle. But now God gets national attention here. Look at the audience who saw all this happening. You got the king, the royal advisors, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the soldiers, and even the servants working in the pit. But how about those people that snitched on them? They were there too. They were all witnesses to this great miracle. Again, perfect time, perfect place. No doubt a life-changing event for all these unbelievers. The king was so blown away that he could not even take his eyes off the fourth man. Church, who do other people see in our trials? When we're in the fire, do they see a poor me struggling and just surviving life? Or do they see an awesome God just like the fourth man in the story? A faithful and loving God who's on our side. You know, every time I get a call at home, the one call that Jess is being rushed to emergency again, her mom and dad are going with her to the hospital. I know by faith that there is a fourth man in there. And I'm not talking about the best doctor in UC Davis or Berkeley. I'm talking about the great physician. Amen, Jess, I know you're listening. You know, another thing I noticed while they were in the fire, while they were in their biggest trial, verse 25. I want to go back to that real quick. Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. They were not sitting and having a pity party. They were not just standing still and waiting for God to rescue them out of their trouble. They were walking with their God in the fire. Do you see what I'm saying here? God wants us to continue our walk with Him even when the going gets rough. I know it's easier said than done. As a matter of fact, when I was studying this, some scholars said that the king heard singing. Wait, what? You'd think he would normally hear screaming, not songs of praise, not singing. Church, people will take notice of the way we respond to God in the fire. We can either glorify our pain or glorify our God. Which one would you choose? My last point, God's promotion to faith for faithfulness. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God loves doing this. Beyond simply restoring them, Nebuchadnezzar also advanced them to positions of greater authority and influence. If it weren't for the furnace, they would not have been promoted to this high rank. The lesson from this verse is the truth that being faithful to God leads to rewards that we might not foresee. This verse also shows us that God does take note of our sacrifices and stands ready to bless us because of our faithfulness. This event underscores the biblical principle, and we all know this, that God honors those who honor who? Him. Before I conclude this message, I briefly want to point out one more lesson from this book, but this time through the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar. See, if you read Daniel's chapter 1 to 4, it's not just a story of a proud and wicked king, but a story of a loving and patient God towards that king. God was working on elevating the faith of these three men, but he was also working on giving true faith to King Nebuchadnezzar. We saw him acknowledge and praise God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he did not acknowledge their God as his God. Verse 28. Let's go over that real quick. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. There was none of me. There's a difference between acknowledging God in the moment and surrendering to Him for a lifetime. He basically said, that's all good for them. I'm happy for them. I'm glad that works out for you. But as for me, I'm in control of my own life. I'm okay of who and where I am today. I don't really need God in my own personal life. If you're here with that same mindset, then friend, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God personally. He wants a deep relationship with you. God wants you to be His own child, but you need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He loves you dearly. He doesn't care about your past. He didn't care about my past. Yet I'm here. I'm thankful. I want to end with this verses. After the Lord dealt with King Nebuchadnezzar through a series of events, and there was a lot, this is what he says at the end. It's a beautiful story. Daniel 4:34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, he's talking about himself now, it's just me, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored Him. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. Then verse 36. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne, and look at this, and became even greater than before. That's what the Lord does. When you make Him your Lord and personal Savior, you are never the same. You are a better person. You become a better person. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven because everything He does is right, and all His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He's talking about Himself, He is able to humble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I heavily pray that if there's anyone here who has not trusted You as their Lord and Savior, that they will take a moment and examine their life. Just like this king, they may have seen several miracles in their lifetime, but never became the miracle themselves. I encourage them to make this wise choice today. And for the rest of us here, maybe some are finding it hard to live for You, finding it hard to walk with You, finding it hard to stand pure and stand strong while living in a fallen world. I pray that You give us the same strength and faith as You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May we stand for what's right and not stand with the majority or the crowd, but that we will impact our society and point them towards You, towards Christ. In Your name, amen.